that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. So, our God, as we come to you, we pray that you will help us to understand the one that we're coming to. The God who is seated on the throne of heaven, who made everything, who knows everything, who's never done anything wrong, thought anything wrong, or is capable of wrong, and who is all-powerful. There's no one before you, there's no one who can even compete with you. For you are God Almighty. And we pray that that amazing truth will be something that sinks into our heads. And then that the amazing truth of what we've just read, that you spoke, that we can be connected to you. That we can be connected to you like a branch is connected to a vine. And that we can bear your fruit. That there can be proof that we know the God of heaven and earth. Because we're connected to you. And because we're connected to you, we can ask anything of you. That we can know that closeness with you. That we are really your children. Really belonging to you, able to bring everything to you, able to show a life that is what you made us to be. Oh, we pray that you'll help us to hear your voice. We pray that we'll know that life in our veins, that power in our hearts. And we pray that as we worship you, we'll be pleasing to you and we'll be on your wavelength. Doing what you want. So be with us, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Yeah.
So those of you who've been here for a few weeks will know that we've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and we've really enjoyed it and found it really helpful. And we come to the end of this, so I'm going to be reading the last few verses in Ephesians. Then in a break to normal, after that, we've got the children's talk. So after the reading, if you're at primary school or a little bit below primary school, please do come to the front and John's going to do the children's talk. But for now, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6 and the final instructions, which start at verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Supplication. What does that mean? I was going to explain that before I started reading. Supplication is when somebody's coming and asking someone greater for something they really, really need. They might be doing it for themselves, or they might be doing it for somebody else. So sorry I didn't explain that at the beginning. Let's start again. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am, and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with love incorruptible. So we have the children's talk now, so if you'd like to come to the front, that would be great.
Right, good morning. Good to have you here. Good to have you join us, Oscar, as well. That's great to see you again. Okay, well, I brought my tower in this morning. I thought I did that a while ago, but it's actually nearly 3 years ago, so perhaps you've never seen this tower before. Can we have our verse up? Why have we got a tower this morning? Here's our first verse we're going to think about. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. So years and years ago, people didn't have very secure houses, but there was often a place in a town centre or a castle or a tower, and if the invaders were coming, they could run out of their insecure houses, they could go and hide in the tower till the danger was past. It was a place of safety, a place of hiding when the baddies came. And that was a great comfort to people. They knew they had a place to go to keep safe. But here it says that God is a strong tower. Actually, it says more than that, which, what does it mean? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What do we think that means? They're saying God is a place we can go to God and find safety. But what about the name of God? Well, if I hear the name Harvey Russell, okay, I don't know a huge amount about Harvey, all right, but I think of his name, I think he's got a very cheeky grin. He loves football. And I found out Friday that he loves chickens, but he doesn't like the smell of chickens. Okay? So that's what I know a little bit about Harvey. When somebody says his name, and if you say someone's name, you think about them and what they're like. Well, it's a bit like this with God, the name of the Lord. So when we think of God, we should think of his great character and what he's like. And that, for Christians, is a great place of safety. It is a place that we can run and hide in God and what he's like, to help us. Now, before, you probably won't remember, we thought about that God never sleeps. So God's always on duty. That's a great comfort to know that. God never lies, so everything he says is true. And God is good. And I've got another one we're going to add today, which I think is amazing. God forgives. So when we think about God's name, we think about him being a forgiving God. This is what David says. Lord, you are kind and forgiving. You have great love for those who call to you. And this is brilliant news for you, younger people, children. It's brilliant news for older people. It's brilliant news for everyone here. It's great news for people who aren't Christians. And it's especially great news for those who are Christians, that God forgives our sin. What does it mean? What does forgiveness mean? Now, I want you to imagine that you are going along the corridor at school with your rucksack on, and the school bully catches up with you. And he trips you up, and your bag just goes all over the floor, and people trample it down. And then he takes some of your stuff, and he starts kicking you about on the ground, hurting you, damaging your stuff, taking your stuff, being nasty. Now, I wonder how you would feel about that. How do we respond? Now, often we can think, I want to get him back. I want to see him punished. I hate him. He's never coming to my party. He's never going to be my friend. That's one way of reacting. But if you were to forgive him, you might dust yourself down in a lot of pain and crying, and you might say, even though he's been so nasty and horrible to me, I'm going to forgive him. What does that mean? I'm not going to hold... Would you want to tell us? Yeah? Well done. Yeah, it does. It means that you don't feel like you want to punish him. I don't want to punish you. You've been nasty to me, but I'm actually going to show kindness to you. I'm not going to hold it against you. When I hear your name, I'm not going to think bad thoughts. That's difficult to do that, isn't it? Forgiving is hard work. I'm not going to treat you badly. I'm not going to want others to hurt you. I'm not going to want somebody to do the same thing you did to me, to you. I'm not going to say bad words to you. I'm actually going to offer friendship to you. That's incredible, isn't it? Real forgiveness is incredible. I wonder if we feel like that sometimes to people. It's hard, isn't it? Well, you just want revenge and want other people to be hurt as well. But something that even more is more amazing is that God forgives. David also says that if God was to count up our sins and punish us, nobody would be left. We'd have all just disappeared under God's punishment. But God is patient with us and willing to forgive us. That is great news. And does he just get all of the wrong things we do and say, well, sorry, you know, yes, I'll forgive you, but never mind. Don't worry about what you've done wrong. Well, that would be unfair, wouldn't it? Because things that are done wrong deserve to be punished, don't we? We would expect the bully to get some sort of punishment because that would be fair. Even though we might be ready to forgive them, we'd expect the head teacher to say, look now, look here, we've got some saying sorry to do, we've got some, you know, punishment, really, for your bad behaviour, because it's unacceptable. And God can't just get our sins and say, well, let's just sweep them under the carpet there. Jesus, God, not only is willing to forgive us, but it's a great cost to him. He takes our sin and he says, I'm going to take the punishment that you deserve, and I'm going to put it on my son Jesus. And on the cross, he takes the punishment that we deserve so that God can forgive us. God must love us so much, mustn't he, to be willing to do that. To give his own son, Jesus, to give us forgiveness. So God doesn't have any hard feelings against us for the wrong things we've done against him and the gigantic things we do against God. Especially as we grow up, we mount up the sins in our lives. And some people might say, can God really forgive me after the things I've done? And the answer is yes. He's kind and forgiving. And he even has great love for those who ask for forgiveness. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went and hid themselves, didn't they? God says that when we come to him and call out to him, it's like going to this tower and I feel guilty for the wrong things I've done. But when I think of God's name and he forgives, I'm going to go and run to God into that tower and find that all of my sins are forgiven. That's really good news. And there's a great prayer that somebody in one of the parables prayed that Jesus told. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we need to remember and realize that we're sinners and ask God not to treat us how we deserve, but to treat us with love and forgiveness. And that is great, great news. Good, you've listened well. Go and sit down.
Thanks, John. Let's pray again. Oh, we thank you that we can always run to Jesus, the Jesus who is good and kind. As we come to you in prayer, O God, we know that you know us, and you know us better than we know ourselves. And if you were to count our wrongdoings against us, we would be hopeless and lost. So we ask that you will help us to come to you now, knowing that you are good and kind and forgiving. Father, we do thank you that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that we've heard so much from Ephesians. We've heard how we are your body. We have heard how you want us and you tell us to live as workers, as husbands and wives, as children, as parents. Oh Lord, we thank you that we're not left to pilot our way through life in the dark, trying to rely on our own feeble intelligence, but you've told us how to live. And we're sorry. We're sorry that we haven't taken on board what you've said. We're sorry that we haven't listened to your voice like you should have done, and we've gone our own way and we've made our own messes. Oh Lord, those of us who are parents are sorry that we haven't loved our children like we should have done. We're sorry that we haven't taught them about you like we should have done. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us. We pray you'll help us to be a good example to our children, to love them, and to love them enough to keep on pointing them to the one who brings life and brings life abundantly. Oh Lord, we pray that our actions will match up with our words. We pray that if we know you, it will be obvious to people that we love you. Oh Lord, we do thank you that the young people had such a great opportunity to meet together and to learn about you yesterday. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gifts you gave the speaker. We thank you that he was speaking truth from you. And we pray that that will go down into the hearts of everyone who heard and will be really useful and strengthening in their lives. Oh Lord, as we expect some of the folk there didn't know you, oh Lord, we pray that the weight of your word, the truth of it, will have impressed them and will have made them want to know you. And we do thank you that you are a God who shows your power through the lives of people. Oh Lord, we thank you for the memory of Mum. We do thank you for her love for you and her love for people. Oh Father, we pray that you will be raising up us, the next generation. Oh Lord, we pray especially that you will give us a heart to pray. A heart to pray for people in their need. A heart to pray for you to work. Oh Lord, we pray that our actions will be loving. But we pray that a place of prayer will be a place that we fill. Because we need your power. We need your power as people. We need your power as a church. We need you. So Lord, do hear our prayers and do make us want to pray. And we pray that we'll see answers to prayer. Oh Lord, we ask that the life of Jesus will be seen in our lives. We pray that more and more there will be more love, more gentleness, more self-control in our lives. Oh Lord, we thank you that we look forward to hearing your word taught by John. And we pray that you'll give him exactly the right words to speak. And we pray that you'll give us ears to hear what you are saying. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us not to ignore you. Oh, thank you that we can pray to you. Amen. So we're going to sing again before John speaks to us. And the song is a great declaration that every Christian can make. That the Son of God came and gave his very blood for you. Isn't that a great thing to have our hope based on? So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Jesus name. It was July 1981. England were playing Australia in cricket in the Ashes. The venue was Headingley, or for me, on school holidays from secondary school, it was my living room on the Firmer Way estate. The Australians had cruised through the first innings. England's second innings had almost collapsed at the beginning, and they were way short of catching up with the Australian first innings total. They had 135 with three batsmen left, and the mood was very low. And then I watched something which was an incredible feat and which has remained in cricket folklore. The last three batsmen with Botham added 220 runs. Botham got 149, not out. England bowled Australia out in their second innings for a measly 111, and they won the match. And the tail end of England's second innings, the tail enders, which are supposed to be weak and not get many runs, added 220 between them. It was an incredibly strong tail, and it saved the day. Well, we reach the tail end of Ephesians this morning, and I'm hoping that you will find it like England's second innings batsman. A strong tail, a robust tail, full of power, perhaps one that might even stay in your memory. I don't want us to peter out of Ephesians. It seems to me that the main two themes coming out of these closing verses both can come under the banner of stay connected. Stay connected. Both aspects are key for the welfare of Christians. Both are very significant for us as we leave this grand letter which we've been exploring over the weeks of Ephesians. And I'm going to spend quite a bit longer on the first than the second. The first thing from our tale this morning is this: stay connected to God in prayer. Stay connected to God in prayer. This follows on from the armour of God that we were challenged by and thinking through last week. As the old hymn goes, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, you do not trust your own. Put on the gospel armour, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. So the importance of prayer for our welfare and for our warfare as a Christian. So before we get going, may I just ask you the question that makes most of us a little bit uncomfortable. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Been asking myself this question this week. In what ways does speaking to God feature in your life? What situations? How frequently? Do we want to talk to God? What do we talk to God about? Earlier in Ephesians 2 verse 18, we read this: for through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We have wonderful access to God through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross if we're believers. Do we make the most of that access? You have the pass card, if you like. Do you often use the pass card? Paul knows that for believers, an active prayer life is essential. So he carries on here in verse 18, after talking of the armour of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Did you notice the word all? If you've got your Bibles open, have a look at verse 18 and notice the alls. He really encourages a full life of prayer. A prayerful life. He encourages them to pray at all times. At all times. Praying at all times in the Spirit. One of the great privileges as a Christian is that we can pray at all sorts of times. We're not confined to services and to quiet times, if we call them that, in our daily life. We're not confined to periods of Christian activity, and we're not confined to desperate circumstances. I remember seeing a car sticker many years ago which posed this question: is prayer the steering wheel of your life, or just the spare tire? Is prayer the steering wheel of your life, or just the spare tire? That was in the days when you had spare tires in your boot. They're not always there now. But it was just in case, in an emergency, you get it out. And of course, the steering wheel was something that's used regularly to guide the whole of the vehicle. Praying at all times. You can pray as you clean your teeth, contemplating the day ahead. You can pray as you pick up your phone to message someone. You can pray as you have a sense of celebration when you're passed on some good news. Elsewhere, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you're slavishly praying every second, but it is the frequent and delightful direction of your heart to pray to the Lord as you walk through life with Him. Praying at all times. Stay connected to God in prayer. Praying all types. All types. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. There are different types of prayer. Some of the chaps in two Bible studies this week were looking at a prayer of confession and finding it really helpful, Psalm 51. If we're feeling conscious of guilt, if you're feeling conscious of guilt, Psalm 51 is a really helpful type of prayer to pray through as you confess it to God. Other prayers or psalms are thanksgiving psalms. Some focus in adoration on the character of God. Some pray with sadness as they look at the scene around. They're called psalms of lament. Many are asking for things. They're supplications, as we've heard earlier. Some talk of acts as the sort of heading. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. There is a range of good prayer which we can pray, and we're encouraged here to pray all prayer and supplication. All types. Not just the desperate ones, but also the thanksgiving ones and the adoration ones. We're encouraged to pray with all ongoing alertness, if I can put it like that. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance. You know, there was an incident here 10 days ago. seven of the poor folks here had their car windows smashed on a Thursday evening when the prayer meeting was going on. Esther knew that a neighbour had a CCTV camera fixed on their house opposite, so she went over to ask about what it had seen, but it was not recording. It was not watching. That's understandable, it takes time and money to keep these things running, but you know, when the event happened here, it wasn't still observing, it had given up, it had switched off. Don't be like that in your prayer life. Keep switched on. Be aware of the dangers that there are in life. Be aware of the opportunities. Be aware of the concerns. Be aware of the teaching. Keep alert. Take it in. Let it feed into your prayer life. Keep the CCTV on. Be watchful and persevering in your prayers. Do you find it easy to sag in prayer? I expect you all do. Jesus told a special story in Luke 18 to people that they ought always to pray and not to give up, because we're easily prone to sag in our prayers, and we need the encouragement to stay connected to God with alertness and perseverance and watchfulness. He encourages them to pray for all people. All people. We are to pray for a range of people. In his letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, etc., etc. There should be a range in the people we pray for and bring before the Lord. And here especially, he's thinking of a big range of Christians, because he says, making supplication for all the saints. Don't think, when you think of saints, don't think of dead special people of the past. Saints in the Bible is a term for all Christians, all believers, set apart by God, sanctified. Pray for all saints. Pray for a big range of people, Christians. Is it part of your love and service for others to pray for them? Can I ask you this? How many people do you pray for? It's not a competition. We're not just trying to sort of get up to the heights and say, I now pray for 12, or I pray for 72, or I pray for 140. But just trying to get you to think about the extent to which this encouragement is sort of worked out in your life. How many people would you say you pray for by name? Because we pray generally, people of Forest Fold, people of Crowborough, the people of England. Now, I pray for 66 million people or whatever, because I pray for all of the UK. How many people do you pray for specifically? Many of you pray for a lot of people, I know. So grateful you do. Is there a room to expand a bit who we pray for out of love and concern, wanting God to bless them? Paul was praying for the Ephesians. He said in chapter 1 and verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And in our times through Ephesians, Mark has taken us through the two great prayers of Ephesians. He prayed for others. He prayed for others. All prayer, all people, all types, all times, all ongoing alertness, all people. But he adds as well this, pray for me, pray for me. I remember many years ago outside here, one of you came up to me and said, what can I pray for you for? It was Josh, actually. Josh Young did it. He wasn't based at the time, but I still remember it. It was probably 10 years ago or something. What can I pray for you for? I didn't ever often get asked that. It stayed in my mind. Found quite helpful. You know, think about what I needed, and I was very pleased that somebody might be praying for me. It's not a bad conversation to have, is it? What can I pray for you for? What can I pray for you for? Well, here we, if you like, have Mike in hand, and we're next to the Apostle Paul, and we will say, well, Paul, what would you like us to pray for? What would you like us to pray for? And he gives an answer in verses 19 and 20, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He wants clarity and courage as he passes on the wonderful message of Jesus to others. Well, that's not a bad thing for any of us to pray for ourselves and for others. And it's a particularly good thing to pray for those who are involved with Christian teaching and ministry. Clarity and courage in making plain the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again. So I can add a prayer request from us. We're coming to the end of Ephesians. The weeks and months open out ahead, and praying that God will guide us. So kindly seems to keep guiding us to what's next, and wondering what it will be next for us to cover in the mornings. Do pray for us that we might be able to cover things which would be really useful and a blessing to us. Stay connected to God in prayer. We're struck by the family tribute we heard here on Friday at Betty Sharp's funeral, and that it referred to her prayerfulness. And I want to read a bit of it now, because it pulls together quite a lot of what we've been looking at in these verses in Ephesians. The family said, I couldn't finish without mentioning Mum's prayers. Talking to God was so important to her. We got a message from someone who had only recently met Mum. She looked so fragile until she prayed. As she got older, she started writing her prayers down to help her to concentrate. So we know what was on her heart, because we're written to see. First of all, she was thankful for Jesus, but also for a good night, a cup of tea, the beautiful morning, and of course Dad and his love. She wasn't afraid to ask. She knew what she needed. In her own words, please forgive my lack of progress. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit so that I can shine for you. May I join with the saints in heaven in praising with alleluias my Lord and my God. My love is cold and faint, yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. She prayed for so many things for the country. Every Sunday for the preachers she knew by name, and for the church at Forest Fold that she loved so much. Mum loved praying with people and with the church family. Stay connected to God by prayer. It's the way we connect in the first place. It's a sign of true spiritual life. The Apostle Paul himself, though he'd been very religious at one point, it was obvious he'd become a Christian because it says that he prayed. He was praying. If you want to be connected to God in the first place, it is through praying to him through Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But what we're encouraging this morning is an ongoing connection. Stay connected. Don't become unplugged, hence the picture. Don't become unplugged. plugged? Are you staying connected with the Lord in prayer? Well, that's part of the strong tale here of Ephesians. And then the second point that we can get out of these final verses is this: stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. Stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. That is, people who love the Lord Jesus, who love what's taught in God's word. Stay connected to them. I think that's a good way to understand these last three or four verses. We have a man called Tychicus. And we find out what he's up to, and then a final wish. We see what he's up to in verses 21 and 22. So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your heart. So, who is this Tychicus? Well, he's a person of admirable qualities. He's a much-loved Christian brother, we're told, and he's a reliable Christian servant, and the Apostle Paul appreciates him. He's probably the one bringing this letter. In times before the rise of Royal Mail, and perhaps we could add more recent years, the demise of Royal Mail, people carried their post themselves. And Tychicus was probably the carrier of this letter. We know he was from the general area, Asia Minor, as it was called, and perhaps like his buddy, Trophimus, he was actually from Ephesus itself. So he probably has a big love for these people that he's bringing the letter to. And Tychicus has a double role. And the first is to pass on the news of the Apostle Paul. You see, it comes up three times. Verse 21, so that you also may know how I am. Then at the end of verse 21, I've sent Tychicus, he will tell you everything. And then in verse 22, that you may know how we are. So it's partly to prevent Paul writing pages and pages of information and updates. But also is underlying it is a desire to sort of share and to pass on the news, to share life and ministry with the people that are gathered together here in the church at Ephesus. Information, sharing life, updates, sort of cements relationships and values. And it's good for the Ephesians to be well connected to the Apostle Paul. To know of his thinking, to know of his teaching, to know of his mission and his ministry and his circumstances. It will be good for them to stay well connected to this gospel worker. But there's another part of what Tychicus is up to. And you can see it there at the end of verse 22. I have sent him to you for this very purpose. So there was a purpose. There's a sense of thrust about what Paul is doing. That you may know how we are and he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus was going to encourage their hearts. Do you get discouraged in life? In the Christian life? A bit flat? You struggle? Things may not be going as well as they used to. Well, it's part of God's plan that gospel people should be an encouragement to you. That's how he's arranged it. And it's important to keep integrated. It's important to hear from gospel people, to share life with them, to have updates from them, to be encouraged by them. It makes me think of Philemon. Paul writes a letter to this person called Philemon, and this is how he refers to him in verse 7 of Philemon. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Philemon was a refresher and encourager to Paul and to lots of others. Do you need refreshment spiritually? Christian faith and life? Are you distancing yourself? Have you stopped meeting up with those that are Christians or going to the Bible studies or the services? Stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. That's what you need. Encouragement, refreshment, sharing of life with people of faith. Have you got anyone who you talk to spiritually? Maybe you've got several, maybe. It's very helpful to have one, to have several. Young Christian, you need people to talk to about the Lord. Older Christian, you need the encouragement of others who have faith and love God's word. Not yet a Christian. This could help you loads if you talk to other people about the things that you're wrestling with in your mind about faith. Don't become unplugged. Stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. And I think the final wish of verse 24 can be linked in with this too. 23 and 24. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. It's a convention in these letters at that time to end with a wish. And Paul jumps on the bandwagon, but in a Christian way. He wants three or four things for them. Peace, love and faith perhaps, grace. These gifts from God are worked out together in community. Now, I'm glad to have a warmer chapel house, and I'm grateful to the church here for sorting that out. And in having some heating problems over the years, it's taken us back to the history for some of you, which we didn't have to experience, was when there's no central heating. And when there's no central heating, not only is there ice on the windows, and some of you have told me about that, but also you have the main living room, perhaps have a fire, and everybody congregates there. You don't want to be in your own bedroom when it's sort of frosty and cold. You all go to the lounge where the fire is roaring to enjoy the warmth. Well, knowing God's peace, love and grace can be known individually, is known individually, but it's especially known in community. God's grace and love and peace is especially communicated, enjoyed and shared together. Be in the living room with the fire with others. Don't get cold in your frosty bedroom. Grace, love and peace. John Stott called the whole of Ephesians, his subtitle was God's New Society, God's New Community. So much of it has been about belonging together, sharing together, God's love for his people. Stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. So, I hope we see something of the strength of the tail of this letter. It's not petered out, is it? There's been good lessons for us right to the tail order, the last few bits. The main theme is stay connected. Do you go to your laptop sometimes wanting to use it, or you pick up your phone and you want to use it and it's dead as a dodo? The battery's run out, you want to get it going, and all you get is a sort of slight bleep and then it flops again and you can't activate anything. And you look down and you didn't put the lead in, or the lead was in but you hadn't switched it on at the socket and it hadn't got charged. Well, the final verses are really saying, don't be like that as a Christian. Stay connected. Have the lead in. Have it switched on. Stay connected to God in prayer. stay connected to gospel people in fellowship. And we're going to sing a song, especially on the first of those two areas, the one we've aged on most, which is the joy and the privilege that we have in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the access we have to your throne through Jesus Christ. We're sorry that we don't make the most of that access. We're challenged this morning as we've been thinking through this passage. Help us to be encouraged in our prayer life. We pray there might be some expansion in our prayer life. We pray that we might draw on the great resources of heaven for us and for others. Lord, do help us to think through that, to be encouraged by that. We thank you too for the gift of gospel people, people that love Jesus and love your word. We think of what an encouragement and a help they've been to us over the years. And we pray that sense of sharing life together, of mutual encouragement, may continue to be a strength and a blessing to us. We pray for those who have felt an increased distancing of themselves from people who would do them good. We pray that this morning's passage and theme in this connection may be timely, helpful, and a real blessing to them. So, Lord, do use your word from this tail end of Ephesians for the blessing of many. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.